The higher dualities. Okay, so what we've been speaking about is the concept of the way how the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, is that there are these dualities, that we live in a world of dualities, and our job is basically to create unity among the dualities. Right? So in other words, the way how Hashem creates the world is He creates the world out of unity, into world of dualities, and we have to live within the world of dualities. And as we spoke, there's no such a thing in Yiddishkeit to make a choice. It's always to live and to balance between the dualities. Tonight we're going to discuss a few deeper dualities which are in the world, which I think are extremely important and are foundational to Jewish thought. And then we're going to go into the idea of how do we balance the two. These contradicting ideas, how are we supposed to live and balance them? And we'll see that this is a process which are the very parallel to the four spiritual worlds that creates a process. Okay? And we'll see how the Baal HaTanya relates to this, but the reality of it is that a lot of people go in the same way. Okay. Last time we spoke about the Sefer and the Sipur. Right, that there is two books, the book of the reader and the book of the writer, and that's what we spoke last week. Now, what I'm going to speak about, and then just make sure that we're not skipping anything. This idea is the idea that we have the concept of bitochon and ishtadlus. You realize that this same idea is bitochon and ishtadlus. That in Yiddishkeit, there is such a thing that we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to rely that He does everything, and at the same time we have to do ishtadlus ourselves, which is in Chazal is the world, and that's very relevant to this week's Parsha, the world of the circle and the world of the straight line, right? The world of the circle, the word shira, okay? The word shira in Hebrew, as mentioned many times, has many meanings. The word shira means a song, but the word shira also means a bracelet, hashir ve'tzelda. Ashir also means a leash, kol bali hashir nichnosi b'shir v'yoitzi b'shir. And Ashir also means a necklace. So that means a necklace, means a bracelet, it means a leash, and means a song. What's the kesher? What's the relation between all of them? So the Tzaddik says that the word shir means a circle. So anything which is circular, it's a shir. And the concept of shira is when you see the definition of a circle, is that the point of origin becomes the point of destiny. You go back to where you started from. It's a concept of infinity. And that is the concept of something called predetermination. That there is such a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things happen the way how He does. And it doesn't matter where you go, how you go, you always get back to where you started, to the original plan. And then there is such a thing called a straight line. Straight line, you define where to go, how to go, and how far to go. These two anhogas, the straight line, which is the concept of bechira, the concept of choice, and then there is a world which in the end you end up doing what you're supposed to do, and if you look back at some aspect, there is really no choice, and that's the world of the circle, and that's the world of Yedia. Like the Ramchal says, we had bechira, but our bechira, still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that we'll do the right thing. I always say, the life is like a big GPS. When then you make a right, wrong turn, it will adjust to make sure that you make the right turn. So it's a world of a circle and the world of a line. This is the contradiction that we leave, the world of Yediyah and the world of Bechira, that how we juggle. And that's part of the chesed and the din, that we juggle it constantly. That's why the pi is such an interesting thing, right? If you take a circle and you draw the diameter, which is a straight line within the circle, is something which is the real irrational number. It's called the transcendent number. I mean, you could go millions and millions and millions of digits and you never have a pattern. Right? Because those two things are irreconcilable, Yediyah and Bechira, the straight line and the circle, are irreconcilable. In Halacha, we go ahead and we have a number three. That's that balance that we're talking about, which is at number three, that you have to balance between the two. But that is the contradiction that we have to live and balance through, which is the concept of bitochin and ishtavos. And one say you have the straight line that you have to do and you have to design your path, and then you have to realize that we try to control as much as we can, but we can't control everything. So that is that same duality that we have to constantly balance. Yediyah and Bechira, the world of the circle, which is so interesting because Shir is a circle and Yosher is a straight line. And both are the same word, just backwards. Because that is the same concept. Those are the concepts that we have to constantly struggle and live through. So that is one. The same duality we're going to see goes into something like this. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us. There is also a duality. And that's extremely important to know. And this is what Chazal called the Yichud of Shema Yisrael versus the Yichud of Baruch Shem. So the Baal HaTanya wrote a sefer on this, which became extremely popular and extremely revolutionary. It's called the Shar HaYichud VeEmuna. Shar HaYichud VeEmuna means the gates of unity and faith of the Baal HaTanya. This is what created a great storm because it attracted the yeshiva guys and Nefesh HaChaim was written as a response, as a literature response to Shar HaYichud VeEmuna. And Shar HaYichud VeEmuna comes to explain what the Zohar says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ichud, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he relates to us, it's also a duality, which is almost a irreconcilable duality. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Zohar says, it's called Ichuda Ilah, it's the higher Ichud, and Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Olam Voed is the lower Ichud. Now, in this higher Yichud and the lower Yichud, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself into two forms to us. Now, I'll tell you, this is the famous machlokes between the Baal HaTanya and the Gro, and the Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The Baal HaTanya says HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in two ways, like the Zohar says. One of them is Hashem as Mimale Kol Almin, Hashem as he fills all the world. And then there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself as the Soivev Kol Almin, the one that goes, surrounds the world. One is the one that he fills the world, and the other one he surrounds the world. According to the Baal HaTanya, is the following understanding. There is one HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have the world and you have him. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself into the world that allows the world to exist, and to coexist with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the world that we live in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, but he fills the world hidden in such a way that he allows the world to coexist with him. Is the world that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in good English, this is called monotheism. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one God, he controls the world, and that's what, if you look in the Aser Makis, we're told they're divided in three groups. We know that the Buda in Risen Bem Simonim, the Tzach, Adash, and Be'achav, right? Because there were three lessons. First lesson is Kini Hashem, that the existence of God. The second one is Kini Hashem Bekev Ar Aretz, meaning that I am involved which means it's Ashgacha. Ein Kamoini B'Cholaretz is the third one, that there is nobody as strong as me in the whole world. But this is the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He is here. Says the Baal HaTanya, that's called Mimale Kol Almin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, and He's here, but we leave, so we could coexist with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, He gives us Schar. That is a lower form of Yichud. And that's Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Shem Kvoid Malchuso. That His name, His glory, and His Malchus. Because that name means that there is somebody else to call His name. Kovid has to be somebody else to give Kovid. You can't give Kovid to yourself. Malchus is the same way. That is one form of Yichud. But this form of the Yichud is the lower form of Yichud. Because it's on an image. In reality, it's not like that. In reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds the world. He subsumes the world. In reality, it's not monotheism. It's really monism. Monism is only Hashem. Nothing exists. We are just a fallacy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, which means He's everything. We just don't exist. We are constructed reality. We're not the real reality. Right? Because imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no limits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way above. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created space to create the world, it's not that He vacated space. He can't vacate space because it's infinite. He created an image of vacated space. But in reality, it's only Him. So the real Yichud is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's a unity that nothing else exists. So, and that's called Soyvev Kolam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds the world. The universe, there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu which is beyond the universe, subsumes the universe. And that's the ultimate Yichud. And that Yichud is a Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu above anything else. And now, this is how the Baal HaTanya says. The Nefesh HaChaim wrote a sefer, the Nefesh HaChaim, right, to go against that. Not against, but he's saying he still agrees with it. He changes the name, he switches the names. There is a lot of reasons why he does, but he switches. And he says, those two Yehudim are right, but Soyvev Kol Almin means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave space to the world and allowed the world to exist inside. He created a vacated space. Memale Kolam means that there is a Bechin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He's everything. There is no reality besides Him. So the ideas are the same, just the names are switched. There is a reason why they switched the names, but it's the exact same reality.
It is a Nafkimina.
Yes. You know why? Let me tell you what Nafkimina is. If it's Memale Kolam, now just so that people understand, right? According to the Nefesh HaChaim, so those two forms of Yichud, monotheism and monism, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself to us. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two aspects, and those are contradictions, right? Do we exist or don't we exist? And we live in this paradox. Jewish life is a paradox. Now, can we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the only reality, that there is nothing else? So the Baal HaTanya says clearly, no. We have one time in the day that we could relate to this when we say Shema Yisrael. The Kavon of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we have to realize that there is no reality. He is the only reality. Nothing else exists. We don't exist. Everything else is just like a dream. When you dream something, right, it's a constructed reality. But you're not allowed to think about it during the day. Because if He is Memale Kol Almin, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. He's everything, so nothing exists. The Baal HaTanya, on the other side, holds that that's called Soyvev Kol Almin. We do have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even on our Avoida, that He is the only reality. It's the concept of Bito. The Chassidim have this idea to relate. You have the relation life. We're in a life of Schar V'Onesh, etc. But there is always, at every moment, to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only reality. And you have to relate to it. Soyviv Kol Almin, meaning because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, hidden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, that we see He's around. So by calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that Bechina, Soiviv, means that inside the circle where we live, we have to look that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond the circle. Is that clear? So now there's according to the Nefesh HaChaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is monism, is Mimale Kolalmi. He takes away the hole. He fills in the gap. So therefore, there's no gap. We have only existence in that gap. According to the Nefesh, to Baal HaTanya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills in the gap hidden. He hides himself in the gap. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's beyond, he surrounds it. And that's how we have to relate. You have to know that these two b'chinas, Mimale Kolam, Zev Kolam, Monism and Monotheism, is how we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this dual vision. And this is the ultimate contradiction and paradox that we live. So life, this duality, is not how Chesed indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, but how HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us. And then,
I'm sorry, but we could only experience Hashem in one of the two, which is, right? I mean, there's only
when we leave here. So I told you, the Baal HaTanya says, let me tell you. So the Baal HaTanya says, no, you have to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond. That is experiential. You have to feel something called bittul. We're going to learn about it. That one of the avodas are bittul. Lemoshel. The Baal HaTanya says very clear. Baal HaTanya always very, very clear. When you learn and you know something, and you feel that you got it, the next step is to realize how little you actually know. So you have to know to reach a madriga to know that what you really know is really nothing. Because the ultimate knowledge is understanding how little we know. The reality of the world, by the way, I told you Einstein came this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our universe with this paradox built into the universe. If you look into the universe, there is a world of relativity, and there is a set of rules for the big bodies. And then there is a set of rules for the micro world, and that's called quantum. And these two rules are contradictions to each other. So they contradict, right? So the goal of Einstein was to create a unified theory of the universe to be able to reconcile quantum and relativity, that we can't. That's the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it. So the Baal HaTanya always says the Ikar Avoda is that you learn to, you get to know so much to realize how little you know. In other words, if you learn and you know and you feel that you know enough, you're missing the point. Always the learning is learning to a point of how little we know about it. That's why I always go to shiur. If a shiur is very square, meaning everything fits in perfectly, it's like a puzzle, which is a perfect puzzle, you're missing the point. Because the next level is to realize how little it makes sense. Meaning we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the more you get to know him, the more we realize how little we can know of him. When you go to the limits, you realize that we can't know anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the contradiction of the Jews. They do, by the way, Nefesh HaChaim, the Baal HaTanya writes Sha'ichut Ve'emunah on these two, and how you have to relate all the time to these two ideas, every mitzvah that you do. You have Ahava and Yirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you have to relate to Bito. So the Baal HaTanya will always say, Avodas Hashem is Ahava Ve'ira, that reaches to the concept of Bito. What is the reaching? Is to make yourself into nothing. To the Sivik Kolami. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God, but we are still here, there is Ani Vehu, right? Ani Vahu are the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 17 names, Ani Vahu. You're missing the point. There is a bigger point that there is no Ani. That's why Hillel said on himself, right? Im Ani Kan, HaKol Kan. Rashi says the Ani relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the Ani is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to show you something else very cool on this. The same idea is Shnai Mikra V'chatargum. Why do we have to do Shnai Mikra V'chatargum? Why twice Mikra and once Targum? So the Rabbi Yaakov Kaminetsky, in his Akdoma to the Emes LeYaakov, he says something givaldic, and then I'm going to show you how deeper sense it all makes. He says, you know why? Because if you look in Chumash, when you learn Chumash, there are two halachas of Chumash. One halacha of Chumash is that you do, and you could read it, and you are yoytze even if you don't understand. Right, the Balatanya, there is a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that you cannot make Birkas HaTorah on something that you don't understand. If you look, if somebody is an Amoritz, he reads Mishnayos like the word davening, you're not Yotze Tefillah. You're not Yotze Mishnayos, and you cannot make Birkas HaTorah. Balatanya says there is one exception, which is Torah Shebichsav. The Biyakov Kaminetsky wants to say it's not all Torah Shebichsav, it's limited to Chumash. Because Chumash, the words themselves have powers. So you are Yoitze, even if you don't understand, because it's a Kriya. It's not Limud, it's a recitation, reciting it. And that's called Torah. So Torah Shebal Peh, you need to understand, Torah Shebichsav, the words themselves have a huge power. But so says the Akhtilesk, you see that when you go ahead and you learn Chumash, there are two aspects to it. One aspect is that you're reading the Chumash as a recitation, that you're reciting the words, and the words themselves have power. And then you learn Chumash as an understanding, as any learning. So you do it as learning, and you do it as a recitation. Therefore, when you read the Chumash every week, you have to do it in the two forms. One of them you read with a Targum, and the other one you read on its own. Reading with the translation means that you are studying it. So you study and you recite. Recite is Chumash. Translation is the Chumash, which is translation. So Serv Yakubinetsky is Nafkimina. You know why? Because there's a machlokes of how to do Shnamigevach Targum. You read posuk by posuk, one posuk twice, and the Targum, or you read the entire Parsha and then the Targum. How do you do it? So Rabbi Yaakov Kaminetsky says, according to his understanding, it depends. One time you read Chumash straight, and the other one you read every pasuk with its Targum. Because once you're doing it as a recitation, Chumash, and then you're doing it as learning, which is the Chumash, which is translation. So you see that there is a duality of how you learn Chumash. One, you're learning Chumash as a recitation, not understanding, without anything, just as hocus pocus. And you're doing Chumash. That duality is how we relate to Chumash also. And that's why it's something very interesting. The Baal HaTanya says, you know that Shnai Mikra Vechatar, when I mentioned my Shur Shabbos, the Baal HaTurim says, is the word Shmois. Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisroel. Shmois is the acronym of Shnai Mikra Vechatar. Now the question is, what the word Shmois has to do with Shnai Mikra Vechatar? Because it's something very givaldic. The reason why Chumash has this duality, either as one, as a recitation, or as learning, is because Kol HaTorah Kulei Shmois of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shmois of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In every HaKadosh Baruch Hu name, there are two names of it. The Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. There's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is Hoya Hoyve V'yeh, and is above anything, is the ineffable number. And then you have Aloha that you sometimes read Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as Atnos. Right? You know, the Biskarov always says the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Atnos. That's how we read Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Is different than any Kri and Ksiv. Every Kri and Ksiv, there is a way how it's written and the way how it's read, and the reading is really not the word which is written. Ramosha Fajr has enough Kimina. What happens if you can't read the word? Let's say you have the word has some kind of wax on top of it. But anyway, you don't read the word because you read the Kri, you don't read the Ksiv. Do you have to see the word to read the Kri? So the Rabbi Shafai says, the truth, no. Because if there is a Kri and a Ksiv, there is the way how it's written, there is the way how it's read. It's read different than it's written. There is one Nafkimina, says Breskarov, that's not a real Kri and Ksiv, is the Shem Adnus when you read Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. When Yud Kiv Vav Kei Zeh Shmi Le'olam Zeh Zich Le'dor Dor, when you read Ados, that is the reading of Yud Kiv Vav Kei. So it's not a separate reading sieve. This is how you read Yud Kiv Vav Kei. So the Baal HaTanya always says Yud Kiv Vav Kei has two names. One name is Yud Kiv Vav Kei, and one name is Yud Kiv Vav Kei read as Ados. That's exactly Shnayikar Vechatargum. Yud Kiv Vav Kei is a name that we can't relate. How we understand that is Yud Kiv Vav Kei as Atmos. So when we take Yud Kiv Vav Kei in itself is way above, when you read it as Atmos, there is understanding. Shnai Mikra Vechatargum. One is a Mikra recitation, Yud Kiv Vav Kei, and one day Yud Kiv Vav Kei is learning. That's how we do Atmos. That's why Elish Shmois Bnei Yisrael, Shmois is Shnai Mikra Vechatargum. Okay, so that is the idea. Also, the Shem Shamayim, there is a duality. So if you read Shem Shamayim, there's a duality. I'll tell you something very cool. Even the Shem Adnus, there is a duality. There is one Adnus as the Pirush of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and there is one Adnus on its own, the Shem Adnus. Hashem Svasai Tiftach is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Some Sefer, the Tshuva says, he always had a kasha. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was the first person to call Kodesh Bohu Odin, the Morim Brochus, right? Hashem Elohim, right? So, frag there 1 second. If you look at the Medrash, it says by Odom Arishon, Kodesh Bohu, it says in the Medrash that the Kodesh Bohu asked Odom to give names to all the animals, right? He gives names to all the animals. And he asks, Kodesh Bohu asks Odom Arishon, what's my name? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your name is Adnus, because you are Adam Lakol. So you see that Adam Arishon, according to the Medrash, gave the name Adnus. And the Gemara in Brocha says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Avinu was the first one to give the Shem Adnus, as Yud Kiv Vav Kei. I'm sorry, it's Shem Adnus, Hashem Elohim. So how is it possible? Says the Chassam Sofer, because there are two Shem Adnus. The Shem Adnus on its own, the one who gave that was Adam Arishon. Yud Kiv Vav Kei to be read as Adnus, as the Pirush of Adnus, that's Avraham Avinu. So Adnus on its own, who gave it? Adam Arishon. Adnus as a Pirush with Yud Kiv Vav Kei, who gave, was Avraham Avinu. So this duality is in the Shem Shamayim Kodesh Baruch Hu also. So you realize that this duality that we live in every single aspect of Yiddishkeit, there is this duality. Bitochin and Ishtadlos, the Yud Kiv Vav Kei as Ados, how you read the Shem Shamayim, the Gilui Malchus Shamayim, how we see is this duality. So if you look in a deeper sense, all of life is a duality. And we have to always relate a duality. Anybody who says that I have like a one way, my life is like I found my path and it's one way. You realize the guy is missing Yiddishkeit. Because Yiddishkeit is this dual vision. You realize that, I always say, if a person has Hashem can see from one eye, you could still see. But you know what you're missing if you don't have two eyes? Definitely. You're missing depth. If Yiddishkeit, a monolithic Yiddishkeit, my way or the highway, it's like a very easy way, I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't live in a paradox, somebody who doesn't have a paradoxical life, it doesn't have depth. Because in that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we spoke the base, every single thing is a duality. Shem Shamayim, Gilui Kvoit Shamayim, Torah Shebichsav, as we spoke to Torah Shebal Peh, Pshat and Drash. And our life is to reconcile. We're going to learn how to reconcile this duality. Okay? And one more level that I want to mention to you is that every Hebrew word, there is the word translation, and there is the numerical value, which is the concept of the gematria. So this duality, and you realize that Chazal call it, the words themselves, the letters, are the vessels, because they give form, and the numerical value is the light, is the power of them. Because you realize that numerical value is the power with the meaning. But you again have the same idea, the numerical value and the word structure are not the same, but they reconcile with each other, which is the concept of, again, the same conflict that we have in life. The world of the straight line, the Ramchal, in his Sefer, always writes about this. About, by the way, the Ramchal, everybody knows the Ramchal has this duality. According to Ramchal, it's called the world Olam HaMishpat and the Olam HaYichud. Ramchal says also, we have two worlds that we live in. One is called Anhogas HaMishpat, which there is, you deserve, you get, you don't deserve, you don't get. And there is Anhog of the circle, which is called Anhogas HaYichud. That in the end, everything works out. And they constantly balance each other. The Anhogas HaMishpat and the Anhogas HaYichud. Interestingly enough, as I told you, the Ramchal himself in his Sefer had two Giluim. His Sforim come in two channels. There is the channel of Padua, that this channel was hidden, and there is the channel of Amsterdam, which is the channel that we get. And those two channels are talking two different languages, which is the same contradiction, this paradox. So even the Ramchal talks about two different paradoxes. I thought the Ramchal wrote a poem, a novel about his derech, and there are two of them. One of them is called Migdalois. Migdalois is a play that he wrote. It's actually a play, but a play that brings into action his ideas of Padua, which is the deeper Ichud. And then he wrote a play which basically comes to bring into actual play his ideas of Amsterdam, and that's called Leishoim Tehillah. So again, this two duality, Ramchal is ultimately the one who lived into these ideas, and he's constantly struggling to do it. Okay, so I think the important part of it, let me just see if there is anything else that... I want to give one more.
So you're saying that the gematrias really have real meaning? I always looked at them as being like mnemonics to remember different things. And remembering that in times past they didn't have books the way we do.
Oh, exactly. Right. So it's a mnemonics. Now, the Gross says in several places that's not the case. It's not done as mnemonics. That's why there are, if you look in Kabbalah, great lessons of Kabbalah are only not from the word meaning, the meaning of the word, but from the numerical values. And the Gro goes into En Shem Shomayim, how the names and the mathematics is unbelievable. So it's not mnemonics. We believe that they are the spiritual powers of the words. And one is the light, one is the energy. The energy of the word comes from the numerical value, and that's the numerical value. And the words, the expression, the words, is how they come into a vessel, they come to create form. You know, like, there is, and which, by the way, is so interesting, that the one who talks about this is a professor of Hebrew University. People have, all the philosophers of mathematics, they have a question of what is mathematics. Is mathematics the language of the human brain? That our brain has a concept of conceptualizing things using mathematics, but that's a human language. Or is it the language of the universe? Is it the language of the universe, or is it the language of the human intellect to make sense of everything? Most of people think that that's a language of the universe. We believe that's an actual language of the universe. So it's not mnemonics, it's not a language of the human brain to process information of the universe, but that's the language of the universe. That's the energy of the universe, is Nisvar. Eser Sfiris Blima. And that's the duality. So every word, when you read the word, there is a meaning of the word, and there is the energy, which is the numerical value of it that has a different meaning, and you have to reconcile the two.
But I understood that with Gematria, there was a tradition that there are certain Gematrias that are valid. And certain, you can't just make up a Gematria.
Absolutely not.
Okay, and is there a parallel there as well? That within mathematics, I'm not a mathematician, there seem to be schools that sort of get lost in their own self-referential discipline, and they don't really end up with a lot of power. They're genuine mathematics, following mathematical rules, but they kind of end up in dead ends.
Because it's very self-referential, absolutely.
Right.
So in other words, when mathematics have a meaning, and when they don't, you need somebody to tell you. And by the way, the Gros says that. The gematrias, because you could just take numbers and the meanings, the numbers have no meaning. Why? Because by nature, the numbers have no meaning. They are energy without being channeled. So therefore, to know what the numbers mean, for sure there is a value, the numerical value. But what do they mean is something very, very esoteric. And that's why you need somebody to be able to channel. But you should know the Sifrei Kabbalah, if you, as an example, you look at the Megala Mukis. The Megala Mukis is this sefer which is called Kol Kodesh. And it's all gematrias. It says, okay, this word is like this word. And you think to yourself, okay, what does that mean? So it looks like a joke. But once you really understand, they have so much meaning because it's taking the energy. But because it's not channeled, you realize that Midas HaChesed, Midas HaDin, right? Midas HaDin is the words, they are vessels, they're defined. You could look in the dictionary, and the numerical value is an amorphous idea that you've got to work on it. So that's the duality that we constantly live in it. So the message is that life, Jewish life, is this duality which creates the depth of life. If anybody ever comes to you and says, I always think these monolithic ideas, by nature, the Baal HaTanya always says, if this single-minded, single vision, or monochromic Yiddishkeit is something called superficial. Only Katnus HaMoichin allows that. A little deeper level requires much more understanding. Yes, I'm sorry.
I can understand certain gematrias that I've heard, like you take Yud-Kei-Bar-Kei and the name, the way you say it, and together they come to 91, which is our name. Beautiful. But then you take a halacha that you learn, well, I know, minhag, you can't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because egos is this minus one. Where does, if that's mathematical, where's this minus one? I don't understand.
I'm going to tell you, the minus one is something unbelievable. Where do we know? You know, always they say that. I tell you,
what is minus one?
Because, I'm going to explain. Egos. There is always this thing, this gematrius, like this, there is this quote-unquote approximation. That one is off by one, they say in good English, nicht gefährlich. It makes no sense, right? I'll tell you something gewaldic, and you have to understand something you'll see. And that's hopefully the way, if we can get anything out of here, is that things which appear to be very, I don't want word, but very nonsensical, or I'm going to use the word stupid, it's not. This is a difficult example. Many times you see gematrias by egos, by Rosh Hashanah. You can't eat nuts because they are the same gematria of chet. But if you ever compare it, they are missing one. So what does that mean? So many cases. Now, what the Moshe Shapiro always tells me, what's the Mekor? How do you know that if it's off by one, it's okay? Because the Gemara says, huh?
By Malchus.
Okay, by Malchus, but how do you know that that's okay on gematrias? The Gemara says like this, that Iktim, the word the Pasuk says, V'noishantim Baretz, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim 2 years, so V'noishantim, in other words, we were in Eretz Yisrael 2 years less, because had we stayed the same V'noishantim, we'd be lost. Everybody asks, why Iktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu by 2 years? He should have been makdim by 1 year. Well, you see, because if it's by 1 year, since V'noishantim is a gematria, if it's off by one, it's always okay. Okay, so that's the Mekor. Now, why? Because you realize something on this, the world of dualities. On the world of one, every word, there is the word, right, that you count the letters, and then there is, which is the energy, individual, it's called the individualized energy of each letter, which has numerical value. But then there is what's called the general energy of it together. Of the Ichud. I told you, every time there's this duality, there is the individual ones, and then there is the whole thing as a unit. So every single one is off by one. Because every word, right, there is a numerical value of the individual components of the parts, and the whole creates a reality which transcends the parts. That's called the transcendent one. By the way, we have always this idea, if you want to know, it's called in good English. There is a term for this, because all these ideas, great thinkers which never saw Torah come to the same idea. It's called in good English, if you want to write the word, emergence. Emergence is that if you take individual energies, individual ideas, and you put it all together, it emerges into a unit which is higher, which is the sum of the parts is greater. In other words, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Because the sum of the parts emerges, it's called emergence, into something higher. I always say that that's the idea that you count Sfira Soimer. You count days, and the days transcend, emerge into a week. A week is not 7 days. If you have 7 days, you get a week, which is something much bigger. So if you take a word on all the gematria, it emerges into a higher unity. That's why every word is off by one. So that's why, right? And that's why, and by the way, I'll tell you something givaltic. Why Dafka, the only time Rosh Hashanah that we actually have a minhag to keep that thing, is the egoist. That we don't eat the nut. Because the nut is begimatre egoist, but is the gematria chet, but it's missing one. Doesn't make sense. Because chet is a chisoren. The word chet means chisoren, means missing something. Right? Yodi achatena. Chet always means chisoren. Yaakov Avinu says, if I'm missing one, yodi achatena. Take me from me. Chet is the idea that you do life and you're missing the transcendence. So you're missing that hidden one, which is exactly a nut, right? Because the nut is hidden by its shell. There is something inside that you take the shell, but you miss the point. Chet is that you miss the point. You miss that hidden one. So that's why we don't eat an egoist, which is missing one by the chet, because that is what a chet is all about. Okay, so that's it. So this idea of the missing one is the energy. But once you see this duality, there's always the individual components and the emergent one. And chet is when you miss the emergent one. You could live life, but you're missing that hidden one, which is exactly not. Okay, so this is it. And hopefully, so in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to reconcile. What are the ways of reconciling this paradox of life? And we'll see how the Baal HaTanya says, because this is Jewish life. We are the Vav HaChibur. We are the Vav that connects Shemayim V'Oretz, these two dualities that we're supposed to reconcile. That's what Torah we spoke about, the number three, which is the hidden three of this image, and how to reconcile. And we're going to see that there is a lower reconciliation, a higher reconciliation. We have, which I'm going to just summarize to you, is the reconciliation of bread, the reconciliation of man, and the reconciliation of Shabbos. That ichud is the ichud of bread, which is moitzi lecha min haaretz. You have the ichud of the man, which is lecha min hashamayim. And you have the ultimate ichud, which is the ichud of Shabbos, which is called in Chazal, lecha mishne. So we're going to go into moitzi lecha min haaretz, to the man, to the put together, which is lecha mishne, and that tells you how to reconcile this paradox to achieve the ultimate unity. And have a good week. This is what